Go now!
So that sister and I may talk of holy things.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
So close to you.
Welcome. We don't have our sound thing today. You're not supposed to mention the mistakes, right?
Never.
Or we just
never. Just be positive.
My name is Adam Stettmiller. I am the lead pastor of La Jolla Christian Fellowship, which you are looking. I love it in here. Isn't it gorgeous?
Me gusta.
And what's your name?
Joe Brandy.
That's Joe Brandy. You work with orphans.
I do.
I'm very excited about that. And you're going to go to work with some orphans next week.
Yeah, tomorrow, Nicaragua. Huh. Tomorrow.
Rock star. So, hey, we had an awesome time at church yesterday. The reason we're here is to just give a little extra fodder for the message, get some you thinking if you haven't listened to it yet, or after you've listened to it, to kind of go a little bit deeper. We want to give tools for everyone who is a part of this community, whether you go to the church here or not, to kind of experience what we're experiencing and what we're talking about. First thing I'm experiencing is my hair, dude. It looks really
good. It's very full.
Yeah.
Rich, good hair.
Look at how high it was, dude.
Yeah. You could have been a great greaser back in the day.
You know what? And it's so funny. My hair is thicker because I take that pill stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't going to admit it.
No, I'm not afraid. It's kind of like hair Botox.
Well, you should give a plug for this drug. What is it called?
It's called finasteride.
I need to write it down.
You can look it up. Yeah. It's the bootleg way to get. I mean, if you want this thick, rich chicks, don't take it. It won't be good for you, trust me. Hey, let's get into the message. We're in the series Things Adam Wants to Talk About, and which is kind of a cool series. In between, when we go through kind of verse by verse teaching, I'll have just some topical things I want to talk about on occasion. And talked about evangelism last week. This week got into the idea of revival and what revival looks like, how we bring revival, looking at a 2 Chronicles with a verse a lot of people know, and it's in one of those if verses, you know, that really small letter, two letter word, if, but a lot hinges on it. So if my people will humble themselves and pray, he says, I will hear from heaven, paraphrase, and heal their land. And talked a lot about, in the service, I don't really get into all the things that are going on in the world. I don't feel like it's healthy for people to come to a sanctuary and then just get beat over the head again by all the news of the day, but we did talk about there's a gushing wound in the world right now, and I don't know, how are you kind of experiencing that, Joe? What's going on? Is it overwhelming? Do you watch it much?
I'm kind of your philosophy where, well, kind of different. I don't pay that much attention to it because I deal with the orphans and the poor all the time, and it would get just too heavy. If I'm thinking about the global macro issues, I'm focusing on that. So I like that. When we come to church, it is more of a sanctuary. It's refreshing. It's
renewal.
It's that home feeling. It's joy. And then it'll help me keep on going out. I mean, I was on the phone yesterday. I got a call of one of the fathers of the girl has died from AIDS, and they have no mother. And the girl contract, too. That's the phone calls I get. Yeah. So I like coming here to experience the joy, to be refueled.
Well, I feel like the world's dealing with empathy fatigue, compassion fatigue right now. I mean, as human beings, we only have so much margin to process everything that's happening. I got to tell you, sometimes disasters happen now, and I just go, you know, things happen. And where it didn't used to be that way, but there's just this constant blitz. The world seems to be in a tumult. And one of the pivots that I used yesterday is in both of the scriptures that I spoke out of 2 Chronicles, and then Jesus last week, talking about the banquet feast, had a kind of a different play on when things happen in the world and the possibility to flip the switch and think, you know, I'm not going to be the person who says, oh, this tragedy happened because of God. You know, that city is a wicked city and he sent that whatever.
Yeah, but because of their sin. God isn't because of their consequences
and
of
I think
sin, right?
I think we need to be real careful. But ample biblical evidence to support the idea that on occasion God will shake the sheets because he loves people and for the sake of revival. So in the Jesus banquet hall, where he invites people twice, and then the second time they say no, they kill his servants who are doing the inviting. But then it says he sends his armies to destroy their cities. Mm. Jesus, he's kind of getting a little crazy with talk like that. I mean, that's a pretty... And you think these are Jews hearing this that believe, hey, no one destroys our cities. We're God's people. And Jesus is saying, no, it wasn't actually just the Babylonians who came in. It wasn't actually just the Assyrians that came in. But, and you find this in Isaiah and all through Jeremiah. I mean, if you want to get proof for this, look at Jeremiah, where maybe it was God. And the world's looking for why right now. There's a whole bunch. Why do you think they want to know why so much, Joe?
That's the question. I mean, I was a philosophy minor. We always,
very
God
minor.
Just made
very
us.
Very minor.
Yeah, very minor. we always ask why. I mean,
you got to. Oh, I'm making fun of you. Sorry.
That's fine. Hey, man, I'm a good, easy target, but I can take it. I don't know. I mean, I think God's laced it inside of us where we have these questions. I mean, little kids always ask why.
We're built to want to know.
We're built to want to know, and I think that's as deep as you can really have the answer. God made us in his image to ask those questions.
What is interesting is in the Chronicle passage, right before the verse, if my people will humble themselves, it says, when I send storms upon your land to destroy your lands. That's basically a paraphrase. I mean, I could read it directly. But in that 2 Chronicles 7, 11 through 17 passage, here we see God again sending storms to destroy the city. Why do you think God would do that?
Bring us to the end of ourselves. I mean, we're losing.
That's a good point.
There's physically, emotionally, you can't get through it through positive speech. I mean, you're blessed are the humble in spirit. You're so humbled. Like, you have to cry out for God over and over and over.
Is he willing to destroy some that many might be saved?
Seems like he's done that throughout Old Testament.
Well, we tend to want to defang God. It's God the Cobra. It's one or the other. You know what I mean? Christians, people love extremes, and extremes are super easy.
Yeah.
So we're in the end times. All this is God, but I'm wondering if some of it isn't God. And I guess here was the hope, and this was the whole pivot point of the message, that each time there was destruction, whether God does it or not, I mean, that's debatable. But each time in the story of Jesus, the wedding hall was filled afterwards with people who originally weren't invited.
Mm.
And in the Chronicles passage, it says that if my people will humble themselves, then I will heal their land. There was healing and massive salvation, or people coming. I mean, Jesus is talking about the end times and salvation. There was revival, was the natural consequence. Do you think many people, and Christians in particular, are looking at what's going around and have a lot of hope that revival's on the way?
No. I haven't heard that language or that mindset.
What is the tendency, you think, for not just Christians, but ourselves? I don't want to just always say the church and not put myself into it. What is the tendency? Do you struggle with it?
I think there's there could be anger, you said. There could be fear. And there's some kind of force field I put up in my mind or my heart where I just want to act like it doesn't exist. I don't engage.
We talked about that. That is one of the options. I mean, I constantly...
And escapism. We want
I want to run away.
Jesus.
I totally want to run away. Yeah. I want to go, you know, go have a little farm. And.
But the if thing, looking at my own heart and areas of my heart where personal revival needs to happen so it could spread out in concentric circles wherever I dwell, I don't normally think of that. And that's one of your major points yesterday.
Well, that seeing this as probably one of the most ripe times in recent history that for people coming to know Christ and for the church exploding and seeing this and it's really an if statement, because if we are not prepared and if we're living in the anger of the day, which I think is a big temptation, I'm angry. Oh, I read this triggering headline and they're coming to take away my tax exemption. They're coming away to take away my children's, whatever one of the hot buttons.
My guns!
Whatever. Not that every Christian has a gun, but nonetheless, you do. You grew up hunting, but we won't go into all that. It was really interesting that to pivot that and say, are we going to be prepared? And I think the enemy would want us to enter into everything except preparation and invitation. And that was last week's message, invitation. Yeah. How many people? You're a good inviter. You invite a lot of people. Do you invite non-believers?
Yeah, I do. But To be honest, the more I've worked in the church over the years, all my friends end up becoming believers, which is not good.
The basketball league and all these different things.
Yeah, I just get so into working for the church. But then I grow weary of getting rejected sometimes, so then I stop sometimes.
Right.
But we always need to be inviting now. It's now.
And in regard to the if statement, one thing that really hit me was, you know, the people that I generally, when I think of revival, I think, well, if all the wicked people would turn their hearts around,
right,
then it's revival. It's based on them. If they could just see the light, if, you know, all these, they could see this little light right there. That's a bright light. If they could see that light, then it would, everything would be changed. But that's not who's the audience in this?
Us. We, and fighting that self-righteousness, it's easy to scapegoat. We all want to scapegoat. That's the most ancient sin in the Bible.
Right.
You know, one of the most ancient. But looking at your own heart, your own corner of your heart, and going, wow, God's talking to me. Maybe there's not as much revival. There's that tension. You didn't make us feel guilty, but look at your heart and the nooks and crannies of your life. But
the impetus on the land being healed is God's people repenting.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I don't think we start there. And you even see, I think it was with David when the judgment, where the judgment goes out and God sends a warring angel to basically crush his people for disobedience. It says that it started on the steps of the church. It started at the sanctuary. And I believe that judgment begins with the house of God. And that this revival, if my people will humble themselves and pray, confess their sins, turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. So, you know, it's funny. There's all this talk about, well, social inequality and social justice and what can we do to feed the poor. And there's all these ideas that if we just get busy doing the right stuff, it'll be fixed. Who is in charge of healing the land in this passage?
Our cooperation with God. I mean, God's going to do it, but it's our cooperation.
Well, he says, I will heal the land.
Right.
You're right. So, but
repenting and changing.
But what we did in that passage is has no proactive work in regard to, it doesn't say confess your sins and whatever, and then go feed the poor,
right,
and then go march on Botswana and do a protest, and then if you do this, then it'll all get together. No, he says, you just get your hearts in the right place, and then I will heal the land. Now, granted, he'll collaborate with us to heal the land, but you know the world's not going to change because, I mean, the world does change, I think, on God uses it. But the core reason the world changes for better, I don't think, is because we do a bunch of social action. I believe in social action. You run social action. We're called to do that. Mm-hmm. But God can heal it without us. And what he wants us to do is have contrite and humble hearts. So the question for you listening to this is, where are you on the repentance scale? When was the last time you cried for the lost? And this weekend, I think I shed my first tear in years for the lost. You know, which is, you know, I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel guilty about it. But I just realize that you can get so into building the machine. Like you're building an orphan machine.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, working on systems and everything.
Systems and all those different things. And miss. So, you know, in regard to it, how do you balance the heart with the machine?
That's the question. Well, one, I need to be in relationships with the kids and with the people, because if you get too
distant, drive the bus. Got to drive the bus.
Yeah, and if you get too much in the Excel spreadsheets and building the system and always thinking about money, even yesterday when I got the phone call of this, what's happened, this father that died of AIDS, and then there's this girl, these three girls that are left alone. I entered it for a minute, but I was depersonalized because I didn't want to cry. I didn't want to feel.
Right.
I think sometimes even as ministers, people doing ministry, to have production and produce, we put these force fields on our heart and let people in just a little bit, but right, we want to produce more rather than weeping.
Well, dig into the sermon, dig into your heart, and we're gonna talk a lot about what God does. Joe, pray us out, bro.
Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for that cross that's behind us. Thank you. There's hope right now. For anybody that calls on the name of Jesus, bring healing to this land, bring healing to our hearts, help your people be humble, and look to the face of Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. We'll check you later.